Blog Talk Radio.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Big dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Wrestling Sports Nation. Welcome to another Monday night here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We've got drama, drama, drama on asphalt and dirt all weekend long. Whew! Some of the drama got pretty thick and intense on pit road. We'll talk about all of that tonight. We've got World of Outlaws. They just did a little mini Pennsylvania swing. We've got the All-Stars. They had a weekend out in Missouri. We've got NASCAR in the hills of the Poconos. We'll talk about that. The penalty box, all that coming up tonight right here on the Fastlane Sports Show. We are presented by Hardcore Fishing Game, as we are every week. So, pulling belts tight, boys. It's about to get real bumpy. Let's go!
Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network. This is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
That's right. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. That means it's another Monday. Monday, and that means it's a brand new episode of the Fastlane Sports Show. Thank you for joining us tonight right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Oh boy, did we have all kinds of drama this weekend in racing. We had drama in the NASCAR Cup Series this past weekend. We had drama on dirt with the World of Outlaws and a PA posse. And, it's crazy. We've got all of that coming up. And I am joined once again by my co-host, Christina, this weekend. She will be back on the airwaves here in just a few minutes. We've got, if you head over to Facebook, and look up Margazzano Designs. Give them a like today and see what great products they have. If you need custom-made gifts, gift ideas, whatever it might be, head over to Margazzano Designs on Facebook. Debbie G Photography on Facebook as well. Instagram, I believe, Twitter, Facebook, all that. Head over to Debbie G Photography. If you are a driver, a track, a promoter, the spouse or loved one of a driver, and you want some great racing action photos, check out Debbie G Photography. If you're in search of a realtor, you live in this area, you like to move, buy, sell, quit renting, whatever it might be, Keller Williams, go with Jamie Kelly. Thank you to Barbasol. Our Barbasol Shea phone lines are open the entire show every Monday night, 657-383-1903. That is the number to call in. Program that number in your phone. That is the Barbasol Shave phone line number. If you want to call in on the show, give us your thoughts, ideas, suggestions, questions, whatever it might be about tonight's topics, you can do that. Call right in. It's free, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you, 357 Woodworks, for the studios. Thank you, Hardcore Fishing Game, for being our title sponsor, and also big shout out to Racer Chasing Apparel for bringing us Talking Dirty every week. Like I said, my wonderful co-host. That's right. Welcome back. Christina is joining me tonight. She let me do the whole show by myself last Monday. I don't know if it was a success or not. I don't know. I know that by the time I got done with that show, my voice, I almost need a week off to rest my voice. But no, I've got Christina back with me tonight. So Christina, thank you for coming back tonight. Welcome back to the show. Hope you're back at 100% tonight.
Well, I am back. I don't know if I'm at 100% yet. But, you know, I am back. And, I mean, now you know what it was like when I did it all those years and did it 3 days a week.
Oh, I know. I tuned in.
I know. It's a lot harder when you're doing it yourself, right?
I guess I was probably never invited to help because of my bad choice in racing picks each weekend. You thought this guy does this to his racing picks. I don't know what he'd do to my show. No, I'm just kidding. I was on a few times. I called in a few times.
You did, yes. Yes, but no, I am back. I picked the right week to come back. You know, the voice is back, obviously. The throat is not 100% yet. But, I mean, that all comes with the territory. I mean, I did almost kill myself this past week with a pill. So, I mean,
that
was fun, too. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. The pill was giant, and I'm not good with that to begin with. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I come back at the right time. We have all kinds of fights, physical fights, racing fights, intentional wrecks.
We got, Pennsylvania was a crazy state this weekend. We had disqualifications. We had illegal cars. We had members of the PA posse fighting each other. It's crazy.
Well,
crazy
that's nothing out of the normal, but I mean, just add in a few outlaws and, you know, it's a real big shebang and more people hear about it because it's on the grander stage of all. So, I mean, the Poly Box is going to be amazing. And if you're a Denny Hamlin fan, don't tune in.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Before we get to that, though. A little teaser there on the penalty box. Before we get to that, though, let's start with the dirt. Let's do a little talking dirty. We haven't done any of that in a couple weeks. So we will start with the All-Stars. Oh, I switched up on you. We're going to start with the All-Stars.
Boy.
Because if you listened last week, I made a comment, and Mr. Sunshine must have listened to the show, Christina. He must have been tuned in, because I said, listen, Tyler Courtney hasn't won. He won one of the races in Ohio Sprint Speed Weeks at Waynesfield.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Christina, he hadn't won since April, his first two wins. So,
but then he decides to do something Kyle Busch-esque.
He decides to go to Missouri and sweep
and
the beach brawl and win the whole weekend.
Yeah, he was a Kyle Busch-esque weekend for him. It's nothing out of the ordinary, you know. So, hey, he listened, he tuned in. It is what it is. The kid's on fire. Let him be on fire.
He definitely was. The All-Stars traveled to Eldon, Missouri this past weekend to Lake Ozark Speedway, where they had the beach brawl. This is a newer thing, I believe. I believe this is a weekend event that's pretty new. But the beach brawl, it was $8,000 to win the first night and $10,000 to win the second night. Christina, this is a series that they don't really see huge purses to win on weekly, nightly races. They'll throw in a couple $26,000 to win races every now and then, some big special events like the one coming up this weekend. But for the most part, the All-Stars are, $8,000 to $10,000 to win. So this week, we had $18,000 on the line for a winner, and like I mentioned, Tyler Courtney saw to it to get all of it. So he sweeps the weekend. First night out, he beats Joe Miller and Zeb Wise for that win. The second night, the big $10,000 to win night, he beats Cap Henry and Parker Price Miller.
That's a lot of money, too. That's a big win, $10,000 on the second night. I mean, I don't know what was the first night, but that's a good bit of money there. That's a great $18,000 weekend.
Especially when you had one in over a month.
Yeah, and I mean, he just stretched out his points lead to 100 points on Justin Peck after this weekend was over. So he really took tune to it and came back around. And, I mean, I've never heard of a beach brawl at Lake Ozark, so that's cool that they call it that. I mean, we had a crazy weekend with All-Stars, Outlaws, SRX, NASCAR. I mean, we saw it all. We saw wingless drivers karate kicking each other. I mean, I don't know. There's something in the air.
Late model drivers were getting shoved over the cushion, flipping, coming down on the racetrack, getting in fights. It was a crazy week. I think the heat is getting to everybody.
What is
Christina,
in the water?
That's what it is.
It's got to be, I don't know, because I live in Florida and the heat don't make people do that here.
We're not used to that up here, Christina. When it gets hot like this, we go a little crazy. It's like when it gets cold down there and the lizards fall out of the trees. When it gets hot up here, everybody just starts fighting. But no,
literally in karate kicking, and I mean, I've never seen so many fights in sprint cars, late models, USAC. I mean, the only thing that didn't throw a punch this weekend was NASCAR.
Yeah. And Austin Dillon should be lucky for that. No. So, but yeah, the All-Stars in Missouri, they'll be back this weekend. Like I said, the 28th and 29th, that's a Thursday and Friday. They'll stay in Missouri, but they'll be at I-70 Speedway for the Race Rudin Foundation race. Now, this is a big one. The first night, there is just qualifying night. There's no money on the line. The second night, Christina, is $26,000 to win. So this is a big, big race for the All-Star guys. Like I said, they don't see this very often, the $26,000 to win. So this is going to be a big night for them.
Yeah, so they'll go there, and then right after that, there's no break, because then they're going to go to Knoxville and race at Knoxville Raceway. So, I mean, they literally have three straight days, two in the same area, and then one in a completely different state. So it's going to be a lot of on the wheel. You're going to see a lot of tired drivers. But it's going to be an interesting, weekend for the All-Star Circuit of Champions and see what they can do and who comes out on top. I'm really interested to see how Knoxville starts out for them because, remember, we haven't even hit Knoxville Nationals yet.
That's coming up very soon.
This is like a prelude to that for these guys to, test and tune, get that car ready to go because it's coming up soon.
Yes, it is. And as Christina mentioned, with these two wins now, Tyler Courtney has stretched out his points lead over Justin Peck to 100 points. Also, Tyler Courtney, 5 wins on the year now. That's one more than Justin Peck. Hunter Schoenberg, though, way down there in 6th place. Those two features that he has missed is really hurting him in the points because he also has 4 wins on the year. So we've got 3 drivers with 4 wins or more in the All-Star Circuit of Champions. Anthony Macri also has 4, but he is not a full-time
He's not a regular.
All-Star. No, he's only raced 5 races, Christina. 5 features, he's got 4 wins.
He's one of the best in PA. What can I say? And he doesn't mind getting in a fighter here and there either. He's
right.
Been known to do it too.
In fact, we've been seeing him on the podium a couple times this week in PA. So we'll talk about that. But Tyler Courtney, 100-point lead over Justin Peck. Cap Henry in 3rd with 1 win. He's 166 back. Parker Price Miller. Zeb Wise, 2 wins, round out the top 5, 184 back for Parker Price Miller, 230 points back for Zeb Wise. That is your top 5. And then, of course, Hunter Schoenberg in 6th there for the All-Star Circuit of Champions. Not a lot of time left for the All-Stars for some of these drivers to catch up, but I think they got plenty of time. They still have till the beginning of October. So another 2 months, a solid 2 months of racing, you might as well say, from the beginning of August to the beginning of October. So it doesn't sound like a lot of time, only 2 months, but, these guys, they drive 2-3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week. So that is a lot of races for these guys to close that gap, Christina.
Oh, there's plenty of time in the world of racing. There's a lot you can do, and it can, make a difference. You just have to do it, put your mind to it, and get those teams fine-tuned and ready to go, because some of these races coming up are big money races, big points races. There's a lot. There's a lot happening. So as long as they can make it happen, they'll be good to go.
Yep. And you mentioned the Knoxville Nationals. Those are coming up. We will talk about those here very shortly because we are going to switch gears now to the World of Outlaws, where this past weekend we've seen Kyle Larson in victory lane more than once, we'll explain. But we've seen PA guys going at it and PA guys getting wins. So it was a little bit of everything. We had 3 races since Wednesday for the World of Outlaws, and we had 3 different winners as well. The first night was Wednesday, July 20th at Port Royal Speedway. Just a regular World of Outlaws show, nothing special. And we had a very special win that night. For certain people. We had basically a non-World of Outlaw podium for the World of Outlaws race. Kyle Larson beating out Danny Dietrich and Anthony Macri. There we go. We just talked about him. He's got four wins with the All-Stars.
We're not going to be done talking about Danny Dietrich either.
Oh, no. We will definitely be talking about him in a minute. But Anthony Macri and Brent Marks both in this race at Port Royal made up six spots to finish third and fourth. Macri getting the podium, Brent Marks just shy of getting that podium. So, Christina, a very non-World of Outlaw regular top four even.
I'm not shocked. This happens quite a lot when they go to, like, Port Royal and Williams Grove, which we'll talk about here in a minute. The Outlaws tend to struggle a little bit when they come to Pennsylvania, and for some odd reason, I don't know what happened, the year off from NASCAR for Kyle Larson, he really found a niche, and he loves racing at Port Royal and in Pennsylvania because he wins almost every time he races. I mean, it's just a Kyle Larson show, and everyone else is around for the, you know, the ride. And you can't Anthony Macri and Brent Marks are also really good at Port, and Anthony Macri, obviously, has won quite a lot this year at Port as well. So, I mean, I give love to my hometown track. They're always putting on a show. That's one thing for sure, is there's a great race that happens almost every week and or during the week, you know, depending on who's racing. But, I mean, that started off what was probably a crazier weekend than anybody actually expected we'd have. With the World of Outlaws.
Yeah. And for this race at Port Royal, Christina, not only did we have a non-World of Outlaw top four, we only had three World of Outlaw regulars even make the top 10 in this race, Christina. Mm-hmm. Sheldon coming in fifth, Carson Macedo eighth, Brock Zierfoss
wow.
in 10th, and then you got David Gravel in 11th. So of the whole top 10, only three of them are World of Outlaw regulars.
Yeah, and I mean, the craziest thing is Brock is a Pennsylvania guy, so he's done decent at Port Royal throughout his entire career as well. So you're just getting, you know, a little speck of what Pennsylvania has to offer in the whole situation. I mean, that's what it is. PA produces a lot of great dirt racers. I'm not saying other states don't. I'm just saying domination, and I will always be a little biased when it comes to that.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, in the top 10, Christina, you had six of the drivers, like you said, are from Pennsylvania. Danny Dietrich, Anthony Macri, Brent Marks. Jeff Halligan, which I am assuming is probably a Port Royal regular guy.
No,
Lance,
he's a
no.
Lincoln regular.
Okay.
So,
well, he's from PA.
Yes. Just wrong track.
Yeah,
you can't call one a regular. Oh, Lord, those are fighting words. Those two tracks are rivalries. But
well, I don't know. I've never seen the name, but I just assumed.
Yes.
And then you had Lance DeWeese and, of course, Brock Zierfoss. All of those are your Pennsylvania drivers. Sheldon from Ohio. Then you got Kyle Larson and Carson Macedo from California. And Devin Borden finished in the top 10. He finished ninth. He actually hails from Raymond, Washington. So another West Coast. Never heard of him. I'm sure maybe he lives in Pennsylvania now and just runs Pennsylvania tracks. I don't believe he's
Who?
A World of Outlaw. Devin Borden. I don't believe
okay,
he's
so
an
Devin Borden, yeah. Devin Borden, So that's the funniest thing. Devin Gordon is now with a new team. Yes, he runs. He is from Washington. He comes over every race season, and runs here. He was running the Hefner 27, but they parted ways. A mutual decision. It wasn't working out for either side. So Devin is now with a different team, and you will see a familiar face in the 27 Hefner car again.
Does his initial CE?
No, DP, Darren Pittman.
Oh, okay.
So Darren Pittman, who used to run for Hefner when he was on his break from the World of Outlaws a couple years back. I mean, I was still in Pennsylvania at the time. So this was quite a while back, actually. He ran for Hefner either before Lance did or after Lance did. I can't remember exactly how that worked, but he ran, won a championship or two with him, and then went back on the Outlaw Tour. But him and Hefner have always been great friends. He did a lot for them, you know, when Greg was killed in the accident and stuff as well. So Darren Pittman, he's rejoining forces. That team was unbeatable. That's what kind of got me into Darren Pittman, and then the revamp of Casey Kane Racing. And I mean, I've always followed it, but it just made it even more for me because, you know, I am a huge Casey fan, always will be. And Darren Pittman, he's done great things in and out of a race car. So look for that duo to really hopefully make a push here in the coming weeks at these races.
Nice. to wrap up the race at Port Royal, also, Christina, to note, like you said, Kyle Larson at Port Royal, he must love this racetrack. Not only did he win the race, he won it from the pole, and he won it by nearly 3 seconds over Danny.
Not sure.
So that is the results of the Port Royal race. Now,
which then leads us into the craziest weekend of the summer.
The Champion Racing Oil Summer Nationals. You would have thought, Christina, this was the final nationals down in Charlotte. with the way that these guys
just not.
Were racing this weekend.
It wasn't even... That's the craziest thing. It wasn't even Natty Open, which is the big finale for Williams Grove and the Outlaws together. We'll see that here in a couple months. It wasn't even that weekend that it happened. Man, Summer Nationals. I don't know. Maybe the heat does make y'all go crazy. I don't know.
Well, night one.
Something happened.
Night one of the Champion Racing Oil Summer Nationals at Williams Grove Speedway. This was on Friday. We even took a day off. We raced on Wednesday. We gave the guys a day off. We gave them off Thursday. We said, all right, be back to work on Friday. They came back to work. And
with a beer hangover or something. I don't know.
We see another non-World of Outlaw regular, but a PA Posse podium. Ooh, say that five times fast.
Nope.
A PA Posse podium led by the driver of the 69K, Mr. Lance DeWeese.
And for any new listener, in case you don't know, he is one of the winningest drivers at Williams Grove Speedway. So if you ain't going to put money on the 69K, you're going to lose. I mean, putting money on him is like, I don't know, giving me Starbucks. I mean, it'd be the same thing. Same reaction. You're going to get excitement and a win.
And I think his car number is, that's the number of wins he has at Williams Grove, right? 69,000?
yeah.
No. Lance DeWeese gets the win on night one of Summer Nationals. He beats out Brent Marks and Anthony Macri, a couple of guys that are just on fire. When it comes to racing in Pennsylvania, it seems like these two guys are just unstoppable. If they're not getting wins, they're getting podiums, Christina. And here they go getting the podiums in night one. They beat out a couple World of Outlaw regulars that all finished right behind them. Fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh would be David Brad Sweet, David Gravel, Carson Macedo, Donnie Schatz, and then, of course, another PA regular, Danny Dietrich, in eighth, Kyle Larson, ninth, James McFadden, tenth. So Kyle Larson
now we gotta
having,
talk about it.
Kyle Larson having to make up quite a few spots to even break into the top 10. Christina started back there in 13th, but manages.
He's never fared well, though, at Williams Grove. Compared to the two, he's done worse at Williams Grove than he has at Port Royal. It's weird because, I mean,
it's got to be the track.
Most people
setup.
Tell you, or the lack there of track prep. I mean, I don't know, but I just don't know. I don't know if it has to be the lack of track prep and the difference in the tracks itself. But
yeah.
I mean, he's never fared well at Williams Grove compared to Port Royal and any of the other tracks actually in Pennsylvania. He's done better at than Williams Grove. But, I mean, that wasn't even where the fireworks was.
No, it wasn't.
We didn't hit a feature and we had fireworks. I don't know. Somebody hit the button on the fireworks, like, 2 hours early.
Right. Yeah. It got a little testy, Christina, between a couple of PA posse guys.
Well. Let's be honest, between an old man who has a temper and has to literally try to destroy everybody and did the same thing in his own racing career and his son versus Danny Dietrich, which has been an ongoing thing if you lived, like me and Nancy, we all know Nancy from my show, you know, my ride or die sprint car girl. She's a huge Lance Lewis fan, but I even said to Nancy, I said, well, I guess I missed quite a show last night in the pits. This is why I'm glad I stopped going in the pits, you know, when I was at home. Because it just gets to be too much, and this is what happens. Danny Dietrich's still in a, strapped in, and you go after him. Like, come on,
yeah.
Man. That's not even a clean fight. I mean, come on. At least let him get out of the car, because then – It's on, like Donkey Kong, because if you look at little Freddie Raymer versus the size of, you know, Danny Dietrich Double D, there's quite a bit of height difference and weight difference. I'm pretty sure Danny Dietrich would have destroyed him.
Danny
and
Dietrich,
big old Fred
Raymer. Him. Yeah.
Yeah. He just taking some swings, trying to choke a guy out in his sprint car. Like, come on. And
yeah.
I get it, but I get where the frustration came from. He didn't like that he got dumped, that his son got dumped, a.k.a. his car, a.k.a. his money, you know, which is true, Dan, you know, but this is where Freddie Raymer, little Freddie, plays games, and this is where it bites him every time he plays the game with the wrong person. First off, you don't test Danny Dietrich. Just don't. Don't pull half-ass sliders, cut in front of the guy. And that. It's bound to happen. He's bound to turn you. And he turned him. Yeah, barrel rolled or whatever. You know, it did whatever. Yeah, it could have been dangerous. But, you know, we'll get to that discussion about dangerous wrecks in a minute. But, you know, put a little side note. Keep that in your pocket for when we go to NASCAR, folks. But... I mean, don't attack the guy when he's still in his car. That makes you look like you're just afraid of him even more.
Mm-hmm.
I think Danny Dietrich's side was a bit, what he did was a retaliation that had been coming for weeks now. I'm just going to say it. I have got no qualms. People can call in and argue with me. I don't care. I'm going to tell you how I see it. That's how I see it. Little Freddie has been playing these games for years now. All the Raymers have, well, except for Brandon. But that's how they race. and you cannot expect somebody to not race you the same way then. We'll get to that in NASCAR too. But I digress, and it happened. Mm-hmm. There was fireworks. There was fighting. There was craziness. It was, you know, and that was only night one.
Yeah.
Only night
yeah.
one.
Yes, it was. So, yeah, Lance DeWeese, Brett Marks, Anthony Macri take night one at Williams Grove for the Champion Racing Oil Summer Nationals. And then we get to night two, the big night, the night that everybody's got their eye on. And the World of Outlaws said, all right, we let you guys have your fun. Now it's our turn. And we see Kyle Larson back in victory lane, but not because he won. Kyle Larson was in victory lane to congratulate his brother-in-law, Mr. Brad Sweet, who finally gets win number two on the year.
Took him a while.
It only took him 7 months to get his second win, but he finally got it. He beats out Danny Dietrich, old Double D,
mm-hmm.
and Sheldon Houdenshield. Finally, Sheldon. Hey, Sheldon found the podium. Somebody must have finally gave him directions, and he found the podium. He gets a third after starting on the pole. So, you know, he still finishes on the podium. Donnie Schatz and Freddie Raymer round out the top five for the final night of the Summer Nationals. So Brad Sweet gets another win, Christina, to add to that win column that has so desperately gotten so many spider webs all over because it hasn't been used lately. But he finally gets win number two on the year, and he wins the Summer Nationals for 2022 at Williams Grove Speedway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he needed to win. He hasn't got one in a while. I mean, yes, he's Mr. Consistent, but, hey, wins always make it a little better. And he's good at this track, too. Mind you, I mean, one of the outlaw drivers that is actually good at Williams Grove is Brad Sweet. So it's great. I mean, it makes it more fun and interesting. It just tightens up the points, and everything gets a little sweeter this time of year.
Yes, it does. It is the month of money, and we've got money going all around racing right now, but especially seems like World of Outlaws, they're just throwing the money around. So Brad,
they like to make it rain.
They do. They really do. Brad Sweet gets win number two and opens up a little bit of a cushion, a little bit more of a cushion on David Gravel.
Yeah.
He's got a 54-point lead now. It was down to about 40-ish before we started racing this week. Sheldon back in third. Him and Carson seem to flip-flop every other week.
They just don't know what they want to do yet.
They don't. They act like they must forget that Brad Sweet and David Gravel are ahead of them. They must think they're racing for the championships against each other. But Sheldon in third, Carson in fourth. He's 100 points back. Logan Schuhart still rounds out our top five. Him and Donnie Schatz, who's in sixth, both have one win apiece. So that mm-hmm. is how your top six in the World of Outlaws are looking for the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series. So it's
And they're staying east, actually. They're staying on this coast just for one more weekend. So this coming weekend, there'll be a weed sport for a 2-day event. Hopefully Mother Nature doesn't ruin that. And then we're going to get to Ironman, and we're going to be at I-55.
Yes, we will.
This is one of my favorite race weekends.
I believe Sheldon has an Ironman 55 win. So hopefully this can kind of jumpstart him and get him back in the groove so that he can start pulling off some more podiums. But, yeah, before we get to Missouri, we will spend the weekend at Weedsport Speedway in New York for the Empire State Challenge weekend. And then, Christina, as you mentioned, the Ironman 55 at Federated Auto Parts Raceway at I-55 in Missouri. So that should be a good – that's a two-night event as well. And, Christina, what does that lead us to?
After I-55, we're going to Knoxville, baby. We're going to see, I don't know, a lot of races. We have four nights. Four nights at Knoxville. It's going to be fun. So Knoxville will start Wednesday. It'll obviously end on Saturday. It's going to be fun. We're going to go to Knoxville, and then we're going to Jackson for the AGCO Jackson Nationals. That's a new one. That's a new sponsor. It's going to be fun.
That's another three-day event up in Minnesota.
August.
Yeah.
August. August has got, okay, we July, August, September, October. It's all money months now. There's no more. It's all about the money. So bring it or be left at home, one of the two. You better bring it.
If it ain't brought,
you're going to be left behind.
The Sprint cars, two-night weekend at Weedsport, New York. Then they take about a week off. They'll have their two-night event at Pevely for the Ironman 55. Then they've got a four-night event, as you mentioned, the Knoxville Nationals, Wednesday, August 10th through Saturday, August 13th. Then they have a three-night event, the Jackson Nationals, AGCO Jackson Nationals in Minnesota. They got a lot of multi-night events at a couple of these tracks coming up. So that's good for these tracks. If you live near any of these tracks, be sure to get tickets now. You can go to the World of Outlaws, worldofoutlaws.com, click on schedule. It'll bring up the schedule for the whole rest of the year, all the way down to the World of Outlaws. Oh, that's for June. Yeah, you can keep going. It'll take you
all the way
to the end of the year. Yeah. But you can buy tickets. That's what I was getting at. You can buy tickets right there on their website. So be sure to check that out. What was I looking for, Christina? The World of Outlaw World Finals in North Carolina. There it is, in November. You can check out.
It's right before my birthday. Hello.
Well, I scrolled all the way to the bottom, and it said Saturday, June 24th at Husset Speedway. I'm like, next year. I just scroll up
just
a little
showed
bit.
You, just showed you some random stuff is what it did.
Yeah. But the World Finals are November 2nd to November 5th. So if you want to start making plans now. Now, you can't buy tickets for that on here. Does that mean they're sold out? Or you just can't buy tickets for that event here?
For what, World Finals?
Yeah.
You think
it's sold out?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, if you ain't got a ticket for World Finals, you ain't going this year. We'll just say that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. World Finals is always sold out super fast, super early. As soon as World Finals ends, the checker flag wave, they'll redo everything, and you'll be able to buy tickets that same night. So if you want to go to World Finals, you got to really kind of plan a year in advance. That's how it works.
That's crazy. It's a big event. A lot of people go to that.
It's bigger than NASCAR events.
Yeah, it's definitely a big event. Something that I would love to go to. Knoxville, World Finals, Bristol, there's quite a few big events that I would love.
I
want to
do another Daytona 500.
Yeah.
And I want to do NASCAR Bristol on dirt.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Christina, let's switch over since I didn't talk about it last week, and this is your favorite dirt racing series, but the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models are actually racing right now. They are at Boone Speedway right as we speak. They are running right now. So
The Hawkeye 50.
Big race for them going on. They ran a couple Sundays ago on the 17th.
They ran at Speedway on July 17th.
Mike Marler got that win. Shane Clanton won a couple days before that on Friday in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. He got a win there. Christina, the points is a little different than what we're used to. You know, usually we're talking about the Shepherd, but he no longer runs with the World of Outlaws full-time. So now we're talking about Dennis Erb, and he picked up right where Brandon Shepherd left off, didn't he?
Yeah, in a way, a little bit. I mean, he hasn't – it's not been as fabulous as you see Brandon Shepherd's wins and stuff that came by and everything. But, I mean, the old man still got it, and that's the coolest thing is the fact that an old guy is out here teaching these young kids because, you know, the ones sitting second and third are a lot younger than he is. So Dennis Erb is still out there kicking ass, and he's taking names, and he's got a little over 150 point lead. So, I mean, that's the coolest thing, and I love it. That's the best part.
Yeah, like you said, it's not complete domination like we would see so often with Brandon Shepherd, but he's got the most wins on the year of the full-time outlaw drivers, and he's got a 170-point lead over Max Blair in second place. So he is proving to be Mr. Consistent this year in the late model series. And I want to make note that of the top 10 drivers on the points, only about 8 of them are full time that make every feature, every start.
Right.
And Boone Briggs is in 8. He's the last of the really full time guys that are in contention for a championship. And he's 532 points back. He has 0 wins, 0 top fives, and 1 top 10. Christina, you want to talk about somebody who shows up. He has shown up to every event and started every event. He's 8th in the points, and he's only got 1. Talk about somebody who can take defeat and look it in the face and just keep showing up. You want to talk about the definition of get knocked down, get back up, and keep fighting. I would put Boone Briggs in the dictionary next to that because he has taken a beating this year, and he keeps getting up, and he makes every – he has started all 25 events this year, Christina. So – you know, he sits there and he looks at the points. You go, I'm eighth in points. I'm 532 back. I've only got 1 top 10 on the year. But you know what? He's going to keep digging. He's going to keep fighting. And I'd love to see him get in victory lane once before the year's over. That'd be awesome. Somebody like that is who you cheer for. You know, like that is the guys that – you see that, and you see them show up week in and week out every single race, and those are the guys you start to really cheer for and would love to see them get in victory lane because that man right there, if he were to get into victory lane this weekend or next weekend or whenever, he'll be the one that when they go to interview him, he's going to be so emotional to be in victory lane that it's going to be a pure victory celebration. You know, Kyle Larson – can get to victory lane. You can interview him and he could be excited and happy to get a win, but a Kyle Larson win is going to be different than a Boone Briggs win because Boone Briggs is going to be a raw emotional victory that you can feel from the heart.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of those that you hope it happens and you can be there to witness it. And I think that's what also goes to show that there's not – the late model series, it's not usually meant for a championship. These guys run all over the place, and you see it. You know, Superman runs wherever he wants to. Big Sexy runs where he wants to. And now, mind you, when he wins the biggest money races of the year. So he just does it. I mean, that's the craziest thing. So these guys, they're great at what they do. It's just I particularly don't think a lot of people really are focusing on winning a championship.
Yeah, and you're right. The schedule for the World of Outlaws and the Lucas Oil late models, it's almost like, for the most part, they try not to walk on top of each other. So,
right.
You know, these guys, the Outlaws might only have a 40, we'll say a 40 race season, and Lucas Oil might only have a 40 or 50 race season. But these Outlaw drivers, or these late model drivers, they cross paths and they race with each other all the time because their schedules really don't conflict with each other. So these guys are racing three, four, five times a week, going back and forth between series.
Exactly. And that's what makes these two series coincide and work so well and both succeed, because they work together. They don't work against each other. And I mean, all the rest could take point in, you know, doing the similarities in that or retrospect. But I mean, the late models just, they're out there to win the money. They beat, they bang, they wreck each other. They take somebody out over the cushion. They get in fist fights. They throw things at each other. I mean, it's a crazy battle royale is what it is.
I'm
here for it.
Yes, you are. I can hear that. I'm trying to look right now. I'm trying to see if I can find how we're doing here with the World of Outlaws in their race going on tonight. So, but they are racing tonight. They are doing the Hawkeye 50 at Boone Speedway in Iowa. So they are racing as we speak. And then they'll take pretty much the rest of the week off, come back Friday to Illinois. They'll have a two-day event, the Prairie Dirt Classic. I've heard of this one before, Christina. This one's at Fairbury Speedway in Illinois. The Prairie Dirt Classic is a pretty big event here for the Outlaw guys, something they look forward to every year. And then from there, they have quite the schedule through August, running on Tuesday the 2nd, Thursday the 4th, Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th, and then they'll take a break while everybody is going to the Knoxville Nationals. So quite a few races. They've got the USA Nationals also coming up. That's a three-day event at Cedar Lake Speedway in Wisconsin. So the late models, they've got some big events coming up as well.
Yeah, it's all big events. There's nothing small left to be had. And it's the best part of the year is this part of the year. Yes, the race season's winding down, but it is legitimately some of the best racing we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely. And we had, there was no shortage of drama in the late model series either, Christina, over the weekend. We had, it slips my mind now where it was at, but there was a track, I'm sure a lot of people seen the highlights of the race where the leaders were bumping and banging. And the one guy just ran the other guy up a little too far and ran him over the edge. I believe it was at I-55 Speedway?
It was probably.
I want to say somewhere in the Midwest, the Dakotas or Missouri or something. Ran him up over the edge. He flipped, got out of his car, ran down the track and waited for the guy and tried to fight him inside the window. They tried to get him out, Christina, and hold him back, and he ran around everybody and jumped through the passenger side of the car and was feet out the window, hanging into the car, trying to get the driver of the other car. So crazy.
Oh, yeah, we've seen it all.
And then the crews were fighting each other. Guys were trying to throw each other's dirt bikes, and it was crazy, craziness.
I don't know. This weekend, I don't know what happened. I really don't. The USAC race, literally karate kicking, CJ Leary decided he was literally going to use his feet and kick a driver. I don't know what's going on. Oh, man, it's some seriously wild stuff. And, I mean, that wasn't even the craziest thing that happened this weekend. We'll talk about the craziest thing in NASCAR that happened this weekend.
Yeah, that's we've got that coming up as well. Also, right now, running, Christina, we've got the Anvil Oil Sprint Car National Championship going on in Circle City Raceway there in Indianapolis, Indiana. Cole Bodine is leading the C Main right now. So Cole Bodine, I'm sure, has some relation to the Bodines. So we've got that race also going on right now. I can't find the World of Outlaw Late Models race that is going on right now. But we'll check back in with that, see if we can get some information on it and see how that race is going.
Mike Millar just won the fourth and final feature. I mean, fourth and final heat. And he beat, actually, Dennis Erb Jr. For that win. So that was the final heat, just ended, actually. So, yeah, they've got heat three. Oh, of course. Of course he's racing in this. Jonathan Davenport won his heat race as well. So it's actually just got heat races finished. So they'll do the pill draw, redraw, and they'll go from there. Why does the picture never show up? What's wrong with Twitter?
Huh. Twitter. Well, we're going to take a quick break. First hour is done, Christina. So we're going to take a quick break. You keep monitoring that race. And then when we come back on the other side of the break, we will switch gears from dirt to asphalt and talk about all of the drama going on in NASCAR. Plus, we've got the penalty box coming up as well. And we're going to extend the hat giveaway one more week. This is it. This is the last extension we get. So be sure to find our post, share the crap out of it, get your name in the drawing, because we are going to draw a name next Monday live right here on the show. So we've got all of that coming up right here on the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game, heard only on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
All the NASCAR police was out this weekend, and they have nabbed a couple bad boys, both on the same team, too. Christina, we've got the top two finishers of the Pocono race. They weren't doing so hot there after celebrations, were they? They didn't do much on the ride home to North Carolina, were they?
I just enjoy the fact that you paid back a driver. I gotta say, okay. So let me start with where my issue. I have a very big issue with this weekend's racing. Pocono was crazy, out of control, wild, and I'm very shocked that nobody got hurt in either race, whether it came from the Cup side or the Xfinity side. I'm from Pennsylvania, been to that track many, many times. I've always said that something's going to happen. Obviously, we've seen deaths happen in the Indy side of racing at Pocono. We're bound to see it here if some people don't start using their brain that they have. I mean, we were all born with one. Some people just need to learn how to equip it and use it in a better capacity and manner that they do. How Denny Hamlin comes back from some issues, this, that, everything else. Same with Kyle Busch. And battling with Ross Chastain for the lead. We all knew what he was going to do. We're not dumb. Kyle Busch wasn't even dumb. Kyle Busch said, yeah, I'm backing up because I knew what was going to happen. You know, the whole country knew what was going to happen. The only issue I take with it, if you're going to do payback for whatever you think you're owed, okay, fine, whatever. But the issue I have is, first off, you did it in front of the entire field, not two or three cars behind you, the entire field. We already saw the day before Jeb Burton flip through the air, and, you know, that was literally didn't think that was going to happen. That happened. And yet you still did it, and you didn't give a shit. And mind you, then you decide. Then it didn't. Not only did you mess up Ross Chastain's day, or so you thought, you messed up Kevin Harvick's day. Who, mind you, I'm not a Harvick fan by any means or standards of the word of a fan. He was rolling into a good finish that rightfully he does need.
Right. Yeah, especially when we're getting this close to the playoffs.
Right. So he gets involved in it because Denny Hamlin's stupid and has one thing on his mind or nothing on his mind because he doesn't have a real brain. And we get that. Mind you, Kevin Harvick also made the statement that that wreck almost broke his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, where's this whole let's look out for, you know. And then he says, and then Denny Hamlin proclaiming and professing that he deserves respect and blah, blah, blah. This is the shit that drivers hate because then they don't respect you because you just wrecked somebody in front of the entire field. And you intentionally wrecked somebody and then caused damage to other cars that didn't need damage and could have been avoided because you're stupid. But lo and behold, it doesn't matter anyway because, well, Ross Chastain finished higher than him anyway, didn't he not?
He did. When it comes to the points, he did.
And not only is they got disqualified. I didn't think you or Jeremy really believed me when I said it. Jeremy obviously did not want to believe when I said it to him. But the fact that they're not doing an appeal,
mm-hmm.
and they made and the statement they made. Makes me wonder, should we have pulled the 19 and the 20 to see if they had it too?
Correct. Because those cars don't have to get checked. Because they finished fourth and seventh.
So, yeah, so we should have just pulled an R&D, those two, while we were at it then, after they found the first two. Because literally the statement that Joe Gibbs Racing made obviously goes to tell you the 19 and the 20 had the same issue.
I almost want to guarantee that after the run that he had the last 2 weeks, I guarantee that they're doing this to Bubba Wallace's car to see how well it works, because they know his car is not going to get impounded. Think about it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Bubba Wallace has two top tens in a row, and he runs the exact same car from JGR, and Hamlin and Kyle Busch, because they finished first and second, those cars have to get tore down, and they found
here's what I don't get.
Those two cars who finished top two, and you got Bubba Wallace with two top tens in a row.
Yeah, but see, normally they don't pull the top two. They pull the winner in a random car.
And for whatever reason, they pulled the top two.
What made them pull that two?
They pulled the top two, and they pulled two random cars also. So I don't know.
Why did we change all of a sudden, the amount of cars pulled for R&D and tear down? And the fact that we pulled the top two and then two random? Nah, that's
right.
They were tipped off about something. Somewhere, somebody said to NASCAR, I mean, it's happened. I worked it. I know the ins and the outs to it. Somebody said something, or somehow they figured out something's not right, is what happened.
I want to say it was Michael McDowell and Ricky
Stenhouse.
Who's
had a stellar year.
I think Ricky Stenhouse and Michael McDowell were the other two random that were just randomly picked. And they both had top 20.
Really. Yeah.
I mean, McDowell had a great day.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Yet again, he's quietly having a great year that people aren't talking about.
No. Well, it's because he doesn't have a win this year. You know, last year he won the first race and was in the playoffs automatically.
But this year he's really proven that he should have been in the playoffs last year. Rightfully deserved. He won a race he was in. This year, I mean, he's doing great. He's having a great year. And, I mean, good for him. I mean, there are drivers that really need to have his need his momentum that aren't getting it, like Ryan Blaney. Man. Some people in our race pick series need to stop taking Ryan Blaney because they are Ryan Blaney's bad luck.
Yeah, no doubt. Michael McDowell's having a better points year than Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin just happens to have two wins and is solidly locked into the playoffs. So,
we don't know. That could still all change.
I think he still has to be in the top whatever.
Yeah, but if he's below the cut line on the points, he still has to be within the, so many standings on the points.
Well, they've got him eighth in the playoff points right now. So
as of right now. Now, mind you, that can still change. We've still got five more races to go.
We do, and Blaney and Truex are still the only two to not have wins. Now, what I was talking about last week, Martin Truex Jr. has obviously gained quite a few more points on Kevin Harvick after this week. Harvick, 83 points.
Thanks to his teammate.
Yeah, 83 points. Kevin Harvick is behind Martin Truex Jr. Eric Almirola is 140 points behind Martin Truex Jr. But, again, Truex is not safe, because if we get three drivers to get wins outside the top 16, this is what's going to be funny. I will laugh if it's Kevin Harvick who gets the next win, because that'll put Kevin Harvick in the playoffs and Martin Truex Jr. out of the playoffs. So with a win, Harvick can get in. And that would knock Martin Truex Jr. out. And then
it's just been
a silly year. And then you would have Blaney. Blaney would be the next one on the chopping block.
And Ryan Blaney has said, you need a win to be in.
And
Ryan Blaney keeps saying it. So
look at the races that we are going to next. We've got Indy Road Course. We've got Michigan, Richmond, another road course, the Glen, and Daytona. Now, here's the drivers outside of the top of the playoffs without a win. Kevin Harvick, he can win at Michigan. He can win at Daytona. You got Eric Jones, Michael McDowell, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Daytona. With Stenhouse, you got the Glen. You've got Indy, Michigan. So you've got drivers back here in good equipment that don't have a win yet, and we're coming up to some courses some of these guys could win at. Cole Custer with Stuart Haas Racing. You got Michigan. Ford is always good at Michigan. And also,
Keselowski likes that racetrack.
And Michigan's coming up, and Keselowski with a win could find himself in the playoffs and Martin Truex Jr. out. So,
wouldn't that be ironic?
I would love to see Keselowski win at Michigan just to knock Truex Jr. out. That would be awesome.
It's because you have this weird hate relationship for Truex, but Michael McDowell, though, is a great road course racer. He has two opportunities, one coming here at Indy and the other one at Watkins Glen. He's good on road courses. We've seen it all year, but now he's actually getting better everywhere else, too. So, I mean, we'll have to see what he can do. Now, we did see some weird things happen this weekend, too. We saw the hard wreck for Kurt Busch in qualifying, which actually kept him out of the race because he could not pass concussion protocol.
Right.
I mean, that hit it didn't look as bad as what it looked when you slow it down and then you see it again and then it's like, dang, that actually, these cars are crazy. So that happened. And then we saw in the Xfinity race some wild wrecks and Jeb Burton literally soaring through the air and ending up on his roof lid. It was a weird combination of things. And then we saw my boy win a race. And I will say, they raced each other fairly clean. It was a clean ending, a great race, ended cleanly for the most part between Ty Gibbs and Noah. In the Xfinity race, two drivers that really don't like each other, and they've shown it on and off the track. Mostly on the track. I mean, Ty Gibbs fought Sam Mayer, but they raced each other clean. It was a great ending to that race, and the right driver won. And, just saying. And then both of them raced on Sunday.
Yeah, they did.
And both respectively had good races for themselves. And I'll give Colleague Racing some credit. They threw a tweet out with a picture. Noah being one of the – Noah was the only driver that stayed that late and signed autographs and stuff for the fans after Sunday's race too. And, that's what I mean. There's your future. We all know Kyle Busch is not going to be in the 18 next year.
Nope. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, you mentioned Ty Gibbs. He filled in for Kurt Busch Kurt could not, could not run. So Ty Gibbs almost all the way back home to North Carolina, gets a phone call. Hey, you need to come back to the Poconos because you're racing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So he ran the 45 and got a top team finish. So not bad for jumping in a cup car that has, he got to North Carolina. They ran him to the Toyota to get in the simulator because
he's
driving Xfinity. He's never driven a cup car yet. And it's a completely different car. The Xfinity series still has the regular dashboards, the H-pattern shifter, less horsepower. So he had to go to the simulator and practice the sequential shifter using the digital dashboards and all of that. So he had to do a little testing before heading back up to the Poconos to run that 45 car for Kurt Busch.
And Daniel Suarez, another driver, made, you know, I forget how many career starts they said it was for him on Sunday.
Like 200.
Yeah, 200 career start. Finished third. He's on quite a bit of a positive side here on this podium sections here. I mean, originally it was a top five. Still great. Finished third. Those points is all that matters. He does have the win. He is in the playoffs. But the points and stuff are really going to help him when it comes down to it and making a further run in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the top 16 currently in the playoffs for now, you've got Chase Elliott with those four wins. He is solidly in the playoffs. I would almost say he is guaranteed and locked into the playoffs with those four wins.
I think anyone with two wins for sure. I think if you have two and up like he does, I think you're solidly okay and you'll be fine going into this.
Yeah, so Chase Elliott, this is playoff positions. Chase Elliott first, Ross Chastain, he's got two wins, he's in second. Joey Logano in third with two wins. William Byron in fourth with two wins as well.
And
you got Kyle Larson.
Neither one of those, and you just mentioned those three guys, Logano, Byron, and Larson. Larson had the best finish at Pocono he's had in quite a while at any track, honestly. Let's be honest, these three guys have been having issues week in and week out, so their wins is what's saving them in the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah. William Byron, Kyle Larson, both with four DNFs. So they've had their struggles. So, yes, those wins are helping quite a lot. And then we get to sixth place in the playoffs, and that's where we come to sixth and seventh. Is the two drivers in the top 16, the only two without a win. That's Ryan Blaney and Martin Truex Jr. Then you've got Denny Hamlin with his two wins in eighth, Christopher Bell ninth, Kyle Busch tenth. So right there you've got all four JGR drivers in a row, 7, 8, 9, and 10th in the playoffs. You got Tyler Reddick sitting 11th, Kurt Busch 12th, Daniel Suarez 13th, Chase Briscoe, the only SHR driver in the playoffs right now, Chase Briscoe in 14th, and then Alex Bowman in 15th. So you've got all four HMS drivers in the playoffs, Bowman, Larson, Byron, Elliott. You've got both Trackhouse drivers in the playoffs, Chastain and Suarez. You've got all four JGR drivers plus Kurt Busch, five, if you want to call him a sub JGR driver, Chase Briscoe, the only SHR, all three Penske drivers are in the playoffs right now with Austin Cindric. I'm sorry, I missed Austin Cindric. He rounds out our top 16. Austin Cindric, he is the Penske driver with Blaney and Joey Logano. So that's your top 16 as they sit right now after Pocono. So Hamlin missing win number three and a ton of points. Kyle Busch losing out on a ton of points. So that's where we sit for the playoffs right now. Blaney and Truex. Truex would be the next driver out if we get another new driver. Unless it's Blaney, if Blaney gets a win, Truex is still in. But somebody from outside the top 16, Christina, if they get a win, Truex is going to be the next driver on the outside looking in. He's not safe.
I can't wait. It's going to be an exciting 5 weeks.
Yeah, the only thing saving Truex is that the races we're going to, the next five races, all of these drivers in the top 16 are good at.
He has seven stage wins. I mean, let's get technical. He has the most stage wins.
Truex is
sitting in the top 16. So
I mean,
that's where it's at for him.
Yeah, Truex is. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's good at, you know, almost all of these tracks we're going to as well. So he's got every opportunity, him and Blaney both, to get a win yet. But with drivers like Kevin Harvick, Almirola, Austin Dillon at Daytona, Michael McDowell at Daytona, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at road courses or Daytona, you know, Brad Keselowski at Michigan, you've got drivers down here that could get a win. And, you know, you've also got races coming up that anything can happen at. Ty Dillon could get a win at Daytona, the cutoff race.
What?
You know what I mean? That, but you know what I'm saying? Ty Dillon could get a win at Daytona. We've seen crazier things happen at Daytona. And if Martin Truex Jr. doesn't have a win yet, he could find himself on the outside looking in at the cutoff race. You know what I mean?
But
Daytona
is going to be wreckers or checkers for him. It is like...
Well, he better send out Christmas cards now to everybody in NASCAR, and he better start kissing some ass every single week then, because if we get to Daytona, he still doesn't have a win, and he's still in the playoffs, I'm sure there's going to be somebody wrecking him to keep him from making the playoffs. So he's not Mr. Safe yet.
I don't think anyone's safe, really, except for the guys that have 2 wins and more. Maybe Denny Hamlin is safe, so to speak, but if we're going to be technical, the only reason he's in the playoffs is because of the 2 wins, because right now he's 21st in points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those
Isn't
wins.
That a shame? So somebody 21st in points is going to make the playoffs over Mr. Consistent in Kevin Harvick, who has actually raced fairly consistent for the most part. Eric Almirola still has 0 DNFs, even though I truly thought you jinxed his ass the other week. Oh, man. I was like, I'm going to kill Pete. But, but Eric Almirola, who's been consistent, quiet but consistent, is outside of the playoffs because of Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
With 2 wins. Yeah. So is there a flawed? Is this system flawed? I mean, it's been a lot of talk this week if the system is truly flawed. Is it it's flawed, yeah. Because, look, last year Michael McDowell barely did anything, won a race and got in the playoffs because he won the Daytona 500. We could say the same for Denny Hamlin this year.
Mm-hmm.
He has 2 wins, and the rest of his season has sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ryan Blaney continues to struggle. He had a bad race again at Pocono, so...
Oh, he had what looked to be a good race going, and then something... That car is evil on him. I don't know what it is. That car is evil to Ryan Blaney, but... I mean, speaking of evil cars and some crazy things, I watched the SRX race on Saturday because who doesn't want to see Sharon Speedway host an SRX race and see the Blaneys race each other? It was the only time anyone has ever gotten to actually really say they legitimately raced against each other, Ryan and Dave, dad and son. Racing against each other. It was so cool to watch that race. And, I mean, that had chaos and mayhem in it, too.
Didn't get to see it.
Maybe,
I had to work this weekend, so.
And a flawed point system, because I'm still trying to figure out how Marco actually won the title. Because something went wrong. Like, if you go to the website and you try to calculate the points, it actually would have Ryan Newman.
Really?
Marco. Yeah, it's been a real big talk all week. Yeah.
I'm sure Tony will fix it.
Oh, no. Marco has the title. Marco's the champ. They are done. Trust. It is. Marco won. He has Sharon was the finale. Marco has the championship and a broken wrist. He ran half that race with a broken wrist. Because Paul Tracy was, you know, Paul Tracy was wreckers or checkers on every lap. I don't know. He was like shaking and baking out there all over the place. It was wild and crazy. But, yeah, so Marco Andretti gets his first championship in racing. Granted, it's with the SRX, but still racing championship.
Right.
With a broken wrist. And he refused to get out of the race car early for the simple fact that he did not want to lose the championship.
Wow. Huh.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Yes, it is. Well, Christina, why don't we take a quick break, one more commercial break before the end of the show, and then when we come back, we will do the penalty box because I can't wait to hear this one, and then we'll wrap up the show and talk about what's coming up next week. So keep it tuned right here to the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to HardcoreFishingGame.com to get your custom-made hunting and fishing gear for you and your team. Hardcore Fishing Game. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break from Barbasol.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
Got busted. That's Jeremy's boy, Mr. Bad Boy, Rowdy Bush. So we are back. Thank you for joining us tonight on the show. Christine, you just want to get right to it?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. That's right. That's our penalty box sounder. This is Christina's favorite segment of the show every week. She had to text message me her pick for last week. But this week, she gets the pleasure of doing it all of herself. It is time for this week's Pelly Box. Christina, who, why are you throwing Denny Hamlin into the Pelly Box?
So, yes, it is Denny Hamlin. And for all the reasons that were that are needed, there is actually no reason actually needed. I mean, it's I get to pick whoever I want. I don't like and put them in a penalty box. But, I mean, I just don't like the attitude. I don't like the whole holier than now, I'm the best there is, best there was, best there ever will be kind of bullshit, because he's really not. And, yeah, you got caught cheating. You tried to wreck Ross Chastain, kind of ruined your day more in the end, if you think about it, than Ross's. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is. Teach its own. Now you're going to have payback from Kevin Harvick coming your way. I hope it was worth it. So, yeah, Denny Hamlin made a dumbass move, didn't think with his brain. I don't know if he has one. But so, yeah, he's going to sit in the penalty box. And so can Joe Gibbs Racing because they got caught cheating.
I would say that maybe a nomination for the penalty box or, you know, somebody who should be in there would be Raymer. You know, again, you're attacking somebody sitting in your car. You're tracking another dude sitting in a car with his helmet on. Like, if I had my helmet, I'd sit there and let you beat on the helmet, like, until your hand broke. And then I'd get out and beat your ass. But, I mean, how are you going to attack a guy that's sitting in his car, meet him at his hauler, and wait for him to get out if you're a man?
Well, we might as well throw him in there because he always has daddy fight his battles for him, if you want to be completely honest. I've never seen little Freddie Raymer actually fight his own battles. It's always his daddy coming out and doing it. But that is Fred Raymer. That is who he is. That'll never change. That's why a lot of people booed Fred Raymer and a lot of people didn't like him when he raced. It is what it is. He's never going to change. He's arrogant and thinks he rules the world of sprint car racing when in reality – he doesn't. And it is what it is, and he's just a little chump.
Just because he has 13 PA Speed Week championships
doesn't
make
mean
him
anything anymore.
The shit.
Not anymore. He's old. That makes you look retarded. No, not retarded, but you know, it's just a bad look. Like, let your kid fight his own battle. That's the whole thing. He has never let Freddie fight his own battle. Hell, he's not let his own other son, mind you, they're triplets. For those folks that don't know, the Raymer kids, Freddie, Brandon, and their sister, they're triplets. But you wouldn't know there's two other kids. I'm just stating the obvious. Brandon has gotten the shaft when it comes to racing. In reality, I think Brandon's the better race car driver. And that's why Brandon doesn't run for his dad anymore, and he runs elsewhere. The same.
Isn't that crazy?
There's reasons for it.
Yeah,
I mean, it to each its own. But, yeah, so, I mean, they both are terrible. It is what it is. But Denny Hamlin, yet again, thinking he's, you know, the cat's meow, posted a video on Instagram of him drinking champagne from the race win with the trophy. Like, yeah, you have it, but the record books will show you the first driver to get DQ'd from a win since, like, what, 1960? It is what it is. It is what it is. Just,
yeah.
You know? And for those folks on Twitter that wanted to come at me yesterday and tell me he's the greatest driver without a championship, you're completely and utterly wrong. Mark Martin will forever be the best driver without a NASCAR championship.
Mm. Him and Dale
and
Jr.
you're not
going to
change.
Don't sigh at me.
Martin will forever be the best.
Him and Dale Jr. both.
Stop it.
I love Mark Martin. I'm just messing with you.
But and that's the thing. Like, people forget Mark Martin. And everyone's like, what do you mean? Mark Martin never got a championship, folks. If you've never watched racing to know that long enough, go back and look at some of the old school races. He's never won a championship. He raced in a different era where if you acted like Denny Hamlin did, you would have got punted.
Yeah. He finished second in the points I don't know how many times. But, yeah, he never got championship. So
That's baffling because he was good. He was in good equipment at the time, too. I mean, at that point in time, the Cat in the Hat had some of the best equipment there was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd say that was Kurt Busch's best years when he raced for Roush. Jeremy's not listening, so I'll say that. I don't care.
He's probably at work.
I don't know what he's probably doing. He's probably watching a movie with the wife.
Weirdos. But, yeah.
Weirdos. Ew. They're probably sitting together on the couch, too, holding hands. Ew.
Who does that?
Yeah. Who does that? Who cuddles?
Weird.
Weirdos.
And on the Indy side of racing, we saw some craziness there. Pedal Award won a race. Jimmy Johnson had the best finish of his career in Indy. And we saw Justin Newgarden go airlifted to the hospital. I mean, it's been a weird weekend for racing. It was all weird.
Is it a full moon out?
I don't know. I was going to ask you that.
It is crazy. And you know what else the Denny Hamlin-Kyle Busch saga has done, Christina? It has completely... Created chaos in our league as well.
Jeremy lost all bragging rights.
Jeremy...
That was literally the funniest thing.
Taking over the points lead 1 week to third the very next week.
Don't pick a driver that cheats. It's that simple.
And Jeremy went from leading by a point to now he's 42 points back in third.
Yep.
So the tides can change very quickly. I mean, it helps that Ty took Kyle Larson, who still scored 45 points in the race. So that helped out Ty a lot. And then Matt takes Chase Elliott. Race is over. Oh, man, third place finish. Boom. A couple hours later, gets a win. So that gives Matt two wins on the year. Now, with Ty's huge 45-point day, which other than Matt having 58 points there for picking the winner, Ty had a huge points day. He has gapped quite a few people now. I believe it's the top seven people are within 100 points. And then the rest of us are all 100 points or more behind him.
Yeah.
This is for the regular season championship. So Ty's got a 38-point lead on you, Christina. He's got a 42-point lead on Jeremy. 63-point lead on Debbie, 64-point lead on Tristan. That's your top five. And then, of course, Tasha still doesn't have a win this year. She would have got
Tasha.
She would have got her first win this Sunday if it wasn't for Hamlin. And then you had about three or four other people that picked Kyle Busch that had bad days. So
let's be honest. I mean, she had a bad day because Joe Gibbs Racing decided to cheat. I mean, Denny Hamlin didn't do it himself, but
sucks, though. Yeah.
She needs to find a win. She's the only girl without a win this year, I believe.
Yeah. You and Debbie got three, and Aaron has one, and Jeremy's got two. Oh, he's not a girl. Never mind. Rodney.
As long as I beat Jeremy, that's all I care about.
Rodney finds himself back in the basement. He was out for a few weeks.
He?
And don't forget also, people, right now we're basically just competing for the regular season championship, which our sponsor, Debbie G, is donating a beautiful gift basket for the winner of the regular season points. But then this all gets reset. So if the playoffs were to start this Sunday, Christina, you and Debbie would be
first and second.
At the top of the leaderboard, where we both rightfully deserve to be.
You'll both be at the top of the standings with your three wins, 115 points. The points all reset to 100, and then for every win, obviously, is 5 bonus points. So you and Debbie have 3 wins. So you guys would start the playoffs with 115. Then you got Jeremy, Chris, Rodney, and Matt all with 2 wins. So they would be right there, 3rd through 6th, with 110 points. So Matt, Rodney, they're at the bottom of the standings, you know, 157, 193 points back from the leader. But if the playoffs start right now, Ty would go all the way back down to 9th. And you'd have Rodney and Matt all the way up in the top 5 and 6. So
Ty needs to stop picking Ryan Blaney. He is literally the jinx that is Ryan Blaney's bane of existence right now.
Tristan
oh, my
is
bad.
The one that keeps picking
Sorry,
Blaney.
Ty.
Yeah, every week.
Whoa.
It's either. Yeah.
It's either Blaney or Logano, I feel like. Does he only know 2 drivers?
No, he's a big Ford guy. He's a big Ford guy. He's taken some Hendrick guys here and there, but yeah, for the most part, he loves Blaney. So young Ryan Blaney, YRB, that's his pick.
Well, he's not young anymore. He's a little older.
YRB is Tristan's boy. So yeah, the points look bad right now. But it's just for the regular season. What really matters is coming up the last 10 weeks of the season, and that is the playoffs. And don't forget, when we go to the playoffs, Christina,
playoffs.
We pick our team. Playoffs?
No, I don't want to do that.
We pick our teams.
That's how I lose every year, Pete. You make me pick teams. The people I like get wrecked
We'll pick 4. Right now, Christina, pick 4 playoff drivers and 1 non-playoff driver. You could take Daniel Suarez. He's in the playoffs.
I could take both, for that matter.
You could. You could take Chastain. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you what, Christina. I don't know.
My strategy. What's wrong
with
you?
I'm just saying. I'm looking at Chastain for that top 4, Christina. Don't sleep on Chastain for the playoffs.
Not if somebody else picks him, you can't.
can have multiple players, drivers on teams. So.
Well, I think we'll have to this year because we have more people this year.
Well, that's how we did it last year. We had everybody submitted their teams and.
Oh, that's
it
right.
Came
we did
down.
Have some that had the same.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. We've got till teams have to be drafted September 1st. So we've still got a whole month to go. But it's going to be fun. But you can definitely start looking at who's in the playoffs now and thinking about who you want for your team. That's that's what you need to start thinking about. Who do you want? And I'll tell you what, Christina.
Nah,
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at those. Yeah. That's how you probably were in school, too, with homework, huh? Waited till the night before
I got straight A's and was like a 3.8 GPA. So, I mean, it worked out for me, did it not?
I got straight A's.
Remember, I know where you live.
I did not have straight A's. I was a straight C student. That's the best I got, C's.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
I dropped out after 8th grade anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You're such a liar.
But
you did not.
I'm looking at Elliot, Byron, Larson, Bowman. That's a pretty good team right there. I don't know. That might be my 4 drivers.
Why would you pick Byron? Byron's on such a downward spiral.
With Michael McDowell as my non-playoff driver.
That's a smart pick for anyone to put as a non-playoff driver would be Michael McDowell.
I know you're looking at that 23 car sitting there in 22 in points. I got 5 DNFs this year. That's not bad.
It's not the worst.
Never. Never. I would take a zero on the driver scale.
Austin Dillon's got 60 and S this year. He's got seven
top
tens.
Yeah,
to
his own volition, because
he's got seven
literally
top tens,
terrible.
Three top fives. He's led two laps this year. Holy smokes.
Yeah, probably because everybody else was in the pits.
Oh, quit it, Christina. Ricky Stenhouse, he's led 47 laps. He's got five DNFs, five top tens.
Some of his DNFs, I will admit, were not all his fault.
That is correct. That is correct.
I mean, he did get taken out a couple times. So I will say not all of it was, Ricky Stenhouse's fault. But,
Chase Elliott and Ross Chastain are just battling each other in every category. Chase Elliott's got 15 top 10s, Ross Chastain with 14, Ross Chastain 10 top 5s, Chase Elliott 8.
Yeah.
Chase Elliott 5 stage wins, Ross Chastain 4, but Ross Chastain 4 DNFs and Chase Elliott only has 1.
Well, you know.
It's
the life. It happens.
It does.
We can't be perfect. But
that's right.
I want to say, though, I will close on this for the night.
All right.
If anyone would have told me that Trackhouse Racing would be where it is right now, going into this coming weekend, I would have told you I didn't think so. Would I think they have gotten at least one win? Yes. But this, what they're doing between both teams, because both teams are doing phenomenal things, it doesn't always show in the win column for Daniel Suarez. But that team has been extremely consistent in top fives and rebounding after, like, one or two bad, pit stops or whatever has happened. The team has never given up. So I will say this, they're by far further along and better than I thought they would be. And, I mean, kudos to all them and all the hard work that entire Trackhouse Racing group has done, because it's phenomenal to see a very small team, two-car team, out there doing what they're doing. So kudos to them. Shout out to all those guys and girls. And the craziest thing is, I don't know, Pete, if you've really seen, like, the pit crews, like when they go out to do, like, the ice cream runs or whatever, Daniel Suarez treats them all to ice cream or whatever when they get a top five. We've had some of those guys, it's not all of them, on the radio show. And I have been in the golf tournament and been with them at Richmond and everything else. Almost all of those guys, we have been with us since day one. So that's even cooler for me.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. It's nice when we can say that we know, some of these guys that are in NASCAR, been in NASCAR, been around NASCAR, Chuck Efall. The owner of Hardcore Fish and Game, big supporter of our show, big fan and supporter and friend of Christina for a very long time, was in NASCAR for a very long time, owns his own show or his own business now.
If you watch the race where Kevin Harvick hit his crew member on pit road, that was who he hit, was Chuck. Broke his back and everything else and still came back and did it.
We've
crazy.
Also had Mark Jones on the show. He ran with the Super Cup Stock Car Series for a little bit. He was a pit crew member for Dale Jr. in the Cup Series. I believe at DEI and then also with Hendrick. And I believe he was with Hendrick for quite a while as well. He's been on the show. So we've got guys that have been in NASCAR, worked for NASCAR and stuff on the show.
Yeah.
So, Matt Humphrey, he's a big friend of ours. He's a big wig in NASCAR. He comes on a couple times a year, gives us updates about what's going on.
Yeah, even when, if we remember when Michael Waltrip Racing was a thing, almost all of those guys were on the show at some point too. And a lot of those guys, when I left NASCAR and I just did radio and everything else, they would come hang out with me at the racetracks. They would have me in the pits with them and everything else. So, I mean, this all comes full circle of seeing these guys that kind of, you know, doing this crazy stuff week in and week out. And being able to see them win and be in victory lane, that to me is the best part, and it's so cool. Because I can turn to Jim and be like, I know that guy.
Right? Yeah. Pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. So, well, Christina, thanks for coming back this week and being a part of the show. We definitely missed you last week. My throat and voice thanks you for coming back this week as well. Talking for 2 hours straight was not the best thing. But of course, you know, you've been there. So, Christina, we will, we'll be back next Monday. We'll be talking to you then. So I can't wait. And, you and Jim have a great rest of your week.
Sounds like a plan. Y'all get ready for some racing. I don't know. Bring the bell. Maybe we'll have fight round two. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but y'all got to tune in this weekend and see what happens. I'll catch y'all later. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks to Christina for joining us again tonight, as always. We missed her last week, but thanks for tuning in, and hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be right back here next Monday. We will be drawing for that Barbasol hat that has been autographed, so you better tune in. We're going to draw a name live on air. We'll be back next Monday, same time, 8 p.m., same place, SNS Radio Network, right here. We'll talk to you then. Have a great week. For Christina, I'm your host, Pete. See ya!